The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, to the district of the Decapolis. People brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, begging him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, groaned, and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Probably my favorite line in the Gospel of St. Mark. Omnia bene fecit. Jesus has done all things well. It's the way we need to approach him. Especially on those days in which we think everything's going poorly. That Jesus has done all things well. What he directly wills, what he passively wills. He does all things well. Today we see what he does well. By this point, people had seen him feed vast multitudes with a few fish and panini. People have observed him calm stormy seas, exorcise demons, make blind people see, lame people walk. Lepers have the skin of little babies, men with withered hands, capable of working again as masons. He has done all things well. Today they bring to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, a person who couldn't communicate, couldn't hear what others were saying, couldn't speak in response to them or even to God. So when they brought this man to Jesus, Jesus took him apart. Why? Many of the fathers of the church have commented. Brought him apart to emphasize with this man who hadn't been able to grow up with the typical communion most of us take for granted through speech, to make sure that he knew this was a personal act. Because the miracles of physical healing were always a prelude to a miracle of spiritual healing. That's why Jesus had come, and as Pope Francis likes to insist, everything Jesus did, including his miracles, were all part of that much bigger miracle of reconciling the whole world to him. And he would do that one-on-one. So he took the man off, put his finger into his ears. Didn't have to, of course. Could have just touched them on the outside. Could have given a blessing. Could have just willed it. But the sacramental sense of what the Lord was doing was really important. So he put his finger into the ear so that this man would know exactly why he was about to hear. And then, in a way that still grosses most people out to this day with our germophobia, he spits on his finger and puts it into this man and mixes saliva. But Jesus' saliva was sacred, and the man's tongue was loosened. "Be opened," he exclaimed. And that's precisely what happened. Just like when he called Lazarus from the tomb, just like when he said, "Let there be light," he was using performative language. What he said was happening. And then the man's ears were open and his mouth was likewise capable of speech, and he spoke plainly. And despite Jesus' warning not to tell anybody anything, the more he said it, the more this man and everybody else couldn't restrain from saying he has done all things well. We have to approach Jesus that way, to use our ears, to really hear his word, knowing that he's done everything well, to use our capacity to speak and communicate in order to spread that joy at how Jesus brings even good out of evil, that he brings the resurrection out of a crucifixion, that he does all things well. The world needs to hear this, because we're living in an age in which so many people think that Jesus hasn't done things well. He founded the church not on the types of people whom any headhunter would have ever looked to. Many don't think he's done well in establishing the sacrament of confession the way that he did, that we should be able to confess our sins directly so that we don't have to be humble when we go in the way he established on Easter Sunday night. So many don't come, but he's done that well. He's obviously made a mistake in the way that he's given himself to us, because like if he appeared to us differently at Mass, everybody would be showing up. But instead, he hides himself under the appearance of the bread and wine, and so many people think that there are a multitude of other things way more important, including watching cartoons on a Sunday morning as adults. Many think that he hasn't done things well with regard to his teachings on human sexuality, life, love, marriage. A lot of people think that the sexual revolution got it better than Jesus. And he don't think Jesus has done it well with regard to the constitution of the priesthood, that somehow there was discrimination involved. Many people complain about what Jesus has done. That's the age we've been sent out to convert, to help them to see that in fact the exclamation in today's gospel had no expiration date, that Jesus not only has done all things well, but continues to do all things well. And on the day of our baptism, he did something extraordinary in us to make us capable of going out to that age. The priest touched our ears and put his thumb right there on our tongue. And he said, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak." May he soon touch your ears to receive his word, and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. Our fundamental purpose for our hearing is so that we can hear the Lord. Fundamental purpose that we've been given a mouth and a tongue is so that we can speak to God and speak of God to others. He's made us capable of going on out with what we've heard from him so that we might be able to speak those wonders to an age that just doesn't recognize them readily, and in fact gives in easily to the machinations of the father of lies to believe the exact opposite. He has done all things well. This is a beautiful thing for us to spend the rest of our life pondering in meditation. Solomon was one who didn't hear the word of the Lord with perseverance. He did when he was an 18-year-old kid. And when he was asked by the Lord to ask for anything, asked for a wise and understanding heart to govern his people, and he was made wiser than anybody. But he didn't follow. As we heard yesterday, 700 wives, 300 concubines. The one who had built the temple was now building shrines to pagan gods. How deeply he had fallen, because he wasn't persevering in his listening to the Lord. And eventually he stopped even speaking about the Lord. yesterday, there was the prophecy given to him directly by God that his kingdom would be divided after he had died and given to a servant. Today, the prophet Ahijah met Jeroboam on the road. Jeroboam was the buildings manager for Solomon. He was the one who built the temple and so many other places. And Ahijah ripped up his new outer garment into 12 pieces and gave 10 of them to Jeroboam for the 10 tribes of the north. We see the division that comes from sin, and that's precisely what occurred. Israel went into rebellion against David's house to this day, the sacred author was telling. The Lord wants us to hear and to heed. There's the huge contrast between using our ears to obey, which is to eavesdrop literally on the Lord, or all sin, as Pope Benedict wrote about in Verbum Domini, is a refusal to hear the word of God. And that refusal is key, because as we prayed in the psalm, when the Lord is begging us, I'm the Lord your God, hear my voice, we weren't hearing his voice. And so God says, so I gave them up to the hardness of their hearts. That the ears that are the most important ones are here, not here. They're on our hearts. Do we love the Lord? Are we lovingly seeking to hear what he says, even when he whispers it? Because if we're not listening from within, we're even when he's speaking with a loudspeaker, we're not going to grasp what he's saying through our physical ears. We've got to love it. He wants us to hear his voice. When we hear his voice, we hear him speaking with words to be done, words to make us ultimately happy. So he has opened our ears and opened our mouths so that we might listen to him and follow him and help others to hear the echo of that voice through our interaction. Today the church celebrates Saints Cyril and Methodius, the two great apostles of the Slavs, brothers, 12 years apart, who crisscrossed Slavic areas bringing the gospel, describing with enthusiasm and love how the Lord has done all things well, and especially done things well by loving us so much that he entered our own world through the incarnation, became a little baby in this out-of-the-way place, worked a human job very humbly, and then over the course of 3 years preached and worked miracles, culminating with his own death out of love for us and his resurrection. And through their becoming that echo, their having heard that word and using the gift of speech in order to pass it on, they converted many nations. Two brothers. Imagine what sisters could do.